Good evening. So this is session six. You might want to follow this in your books, but you don't have to. You're welcome just to listen if you want. This is about God's guidance, how God guides us, and how we receive God's guidance into our lives. Life is full of decisions. Some are almost irrelevant, like what shall I wear today or what shall we have for tea? And others, you know, they go up in seriousness and relevance and how much they affect our lives. Till they get to really big decisions like, whom shall I marry? Or big financial decisions like, should we buy this house? Should we live here? Should I take this job? Should I? Decisions which affect our life, some in major ways. I mean, who am I going to marry is a major, major one, which will affect all of your life. How many children should we have? What should we do about this? What should we do about that? However, all of those decisions only affect this life. There's one decision that affects not only everything that happens in this life, but everything that happens after this life. And the Bible says that actually all of us are going to live not just along, not just during this life, but we're going to live eternally. That actually we've got eternity to spend somewhere. And compared to this life, eternity is like, if this life was one grain of sand, it will be like all the grains of sand on all the beaches of all the world. How amazing then that one decision during the lifetime of this grain of sand can affect all the rest of the other grains of sand. It's true. The ultimate decision you will ever make is what you do with Jesus Christ. Whether you accept him as your Lord and Saviour or whether you reject him and say no to him. Jesus is God's answer for your life. But you don't need to accept him. To accept him, it's a decision. Ultimately, it's a decision. It's your choice. It's a choice that we make that will affect not only this life, but our whole life. God loves you. You've heard that Jesus died for you. God longs to forgive you and live forever with you in eternity. But in order for all that to happen, it all hinges on something in the human will. You need to give a definite, sincere yes to God for that to happen. Salvation isn't something that randomly happens to you. You choose. You decide. And God draws a line in the sand and says, step over it if you want this. It's just true. So our relationship with God is real and intimate and exciting, but it's not a casual relationship that just happens. It's a covenant relationship. It's just like marriage. When I got married to Margaret, I stood at the front of church, your church actually, and Margaret came down the aisle and public questions were asked. Will you take this man to? I will. Will you take this woman? I will. Do you know it's the same with Jesus? It is. He's Jesus. He stands at the, you know, the end of the aisle, if you like. And we know the question is always, I will, with Jesus, thank God. Jesus, he is Martin Ruddick, filthy, rotten sinner. You know all of his ridiculous past, his potential for blowing it every day in the future. You know all of his hurts, hang-ups, issues. Will you take him on board as your disciple? Will you love him? Will you save him? Will you forgive him? Will you guarantee his salvation and take him into eternity? I will. Yes. How do we know Jesus says that? Because Jesus said, no one who comes to me will I reject. That's good news. So every single one of us, whoever comes to Jesus, he won't reject them. And the cross is the biggest I will the world's ever known. I will forgive you. I will love you. But then the camera swings away from Jesus to you or me. Martin Ruddick, here is Jesus Christ. Will you take him as your Lord and Saviour? Will you trust him? Will you receive his forgiveness? Will you follow him from this day forward? Now that choice is absolutely real. The covenant relationship does not begin until I say, yes, I sure will. But the moment I do, a new life begins. So here's the first question tonight. Because actually, unless this is sorted out, God can't guide you. Have you done that yet? Have you definitely, specifically, said to Jesus, on your own, Jesus, I'm yours and you're mine. You're my saviour. Please come into my life. Please forgive me. Please save me. Here I am. I mean it. I want you. I will. I do. Yes, yes, yes. If you haven't, then, you know, that's something you need to consider doing. Because the moment you do, you'll start to receive guidance from God. Many people say this psalm. You may have heard this psalm. It's the most famous psalm in the world. The most favourite song ever written by King David. It goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green. People say it at funerals, when national disasters happen. Presidents and officials quote it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But here's a question. Is he? The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd guides the sheep, owns the sheep, feeds the sheep, looks after the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd, follow the shepherd, listen to the shepherd. To say the Lord is my shepherd is a statement. And Yeshua will have protection and provision and help if he is your shepherd. But only you can make him your shepherd by choosing, by that essential choice. It's a decision. Will I receive Jesus Christ? And then you know what? As you go on with your life and Jesus, I've found over the years, every time I say yes to Jesus, God will bring you to specific crossroads, to moments where there's a decision to be made. There's something to be surrendered over to God, or something to be given over to him, or something to be for you to trust him with. And when you say yes, you move on. You move up. I often think of it like this. You know the London Underground? There's all sorts of different lines, isn't there? There's the blue line and the red line and the green line. They're over each other. Some are higher than others. Here's me on the blue line. On the blue line, I have all sorts of possibilities for my life. All sorts of possible destinations and possible places I can go, people I can meet, things I can do. Is it possible for that plan to change? Yeah, it is. Is it possible for my options to increase and my destinations to change? Yeah, it is. Because there's escalators. And when I come to a moment of decision with God, whatever that decision is, if I say, yes, Lord, it's like standing on an escalator and going up to the next line. And the possibilities for your life have just new doors have opened to you. That's exciting. Christian guidance has nothing to do with fate. Fate is just, well, whatever will be. Yeah, if you let it be. But you're not to let it be. You've been made in the image of God. That means your freedom. You decide what happens with you. You choose. Your life might have been very out of control up to this point, but here's the good news. With Jesus, with God, you are given back the control, and then you can start to make serious, awesome, life-changing, moral decisions which affect your life, your marriage, your family, your finances, your grandchildren, your future, which reduce your regrets and increases your happiness and your relationship with God. It's awesome. That's what Christian guidance is about. Christian guidance is about you saying yes to God, surrendering to God. And when you do, then guess what? He'll make things very clear to you. We should be humble enough and wise enough not to try and deal our own deck and wreck our own life. We should let God have more control in our life. Let God be God in our life. We should ask God about before making decisions. If Jesus did that, how much more do we need to? And Jesus is our supreme example. It says there in Luke 4 verse 1 and John 5:19 that Jesus, before making big decisions, spent a whole night in prayer. Or Jesus said in John 5 there, I do nothing on my own initiative. That's interesting. I mean, he's the Son of God. He's sinless. He's perfect. He could, but he doesn't. I do nothing on my own initiative. I only do the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus had learned the secret of human happiness, and that is to let God direct and guide your life and to obey him, and then you'll be blessed. And that means trusting him. That means letting God guide you where he knows is best for you, even if that looks scary. One of the prime examples has got to be Mary, Jesus' mother. Mary lived an awesome life, but this is where her life with God began. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her, and Mary was given the option of whether she received from heaven Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into her womb, and to become the mother of Jesus Christ. I mean, what a privilege, what an honour. The mother of the Lord. Awesome, amazing, scary, shocking, totally supernatural and slightly weird, but true. And this is what she said, Luke 1 verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to do whatever he wants. That is a surrender prayer. I'm your servant. If you want it, then I want it. Wow. That was a risky thing for her to say. She was not married. She was in love. She was going to become pregnant supernaturally. This meant trouble. And Mary still said, if it's God's will, I'll trust you with it. That's awesome. And what a life Mary had. Wow, what a life. Jesus is born supernaturally. She gets to raise Jesus, to hold Jesus, to train Jesus, to feed Jesus, to love Jesus, to live with Jesus. What a privilege, but what a cost. As soon as he's born, they're on the run. Hunted and hated, refugees in Egypt. And then later back, they still don't go back anywhere near Jerusalem because of the king wanting Jesus dead. And then, you know, all that time of Jesus growing up and then Jesus leaving to start this preaching ministry. And we know that Mary and the family did not understand that or appreciate it. They really struggled. On one occasion, Jesus is in the house teaching and someone comes in and says, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. And guess what? Jesus didn't go out to see them. He said, who is my mother and brothers? Any of you who hear the word of God and do it, you're my brother and my mother and my brother and my sister. That's a hard thing for Mary to hear. Mary had to hear this, that actually, Mary, you know what? I'm everybody's, not just yours. That'll have been hard. That was hard. And it got harder still. We know that Mary was at the foot of the cross. Mary, his mother, had to see that happen to her own son. Horrific, brutal, violent. How much she understood of it is not clear. Jesus actually speaks to her from the cross and hands Mary over to John and John to Mary. What a life. And then we know that Mary is in the upper room for the resurrection appearances and for Pentecost. Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit and is part of the early church, preaching and ministering. What a life. Awesome. It all began with this. If it's your will, then yes, I'll trust you. It was so hard, but so awesome. And you know what? Life with Jesus is like that. It is so hard and so awesome, all at the same time. Life on this earth with Jesus isn't easy. You need to know that. There's a cost, there's a price in following him. Not everyone is going to dance for joy when you tell them you've become a Christian. Following Jesus is not popular. And living by his standards means swimming against the tide of this culture. So it's not easy. And the only way it can work is for there to be that surrender in our hearts to say, yeah, God, you know what, I want you, but I also want you to guide me. I'm willing to go where you say, and I'm willing to do what you want. You know how weak I am. You know I'll blow it. But here I am. And if you can say that, then you'll have an awesome time, an amazing adventure. So practically then, how does he guide us once we've said yes? He guides us primarily through the Bible. So as you're reading, as we've talked about, as you're reading, as you're praying, Truth will come to you. You'll read and see what God is saying to you. It'll become clear. Your way will become clear. His ways will become clear to you as you read the Bible. It's so important that you read the Bible every day, not for knowledge, but for guidance. God will speak to you as you read. He will. He will do that. Read the Bible. Secondly, the Holy Spirit. And we'll hear more about this on Saturday. But you will hear the voice of the Lord yourself. Not just from the Bible, but inside. The Lord will speak to you. You'll begin to hear the voice of the Lord. You'll know you'll have thoughts, impressions, feelings that are from God. And sometimes only looking back you see, wow, that was God. I'm glad I acted on it. You know, years ago, Margaret was going to bed one night. I was away somewhere. And she was working in a school as a teaching assistant. And as she was going to bed, she was just going to switch the light out. And into her mind came this teacher at school. So she thought she'd pray for her. And she said a little prayer for her. And as she did, she found herself praying for this teacher and for the baby in her womb, the unborn baby in her womb, which is a bit unusual because she didn't know whether she was pregnant or not. But she prayed for it, left it, and went to sleep. She actually prayed for the protection of this baby and then went to sleep. And this is how God guides you. This is how the Spirit speaks to you. And she never said anything. And a couple of weeks later, this teacher comes up to her in the corridor and says, "Margaret, have you heard my news?" And Margaret said, "You're pregnant." I said, "Yeah, did they tell you in the staff room?" She said, "No." And she told her a little story. She said, "No, she said, a couple of weeks ago, I was going to sleep and you came to mind. So I prayed for you. And I prayed for your baby and for the protection of your baby as well." And this girl went white. She said, "Nobody knows this. 2 weeks ago, I was losing this baby. In fact, I'd lost so much blood, the hospital thought I'd lost the baby. And when they did a final scan before they cleaned me out, they were amazed that the baby was still there. And the doctors said, 'It's a miracle you haven't lost this baby.' And you know what? It was a miracle. The Holy Spirit, God, speaks to us and guides us what to pray and who to pray for. God guides us specifically like that. The voice of the Spirit. You know the Lord is speaking to you. Often it's only in looking back. Or he gives you a strong desire to do something. Your desires change. Sometimes the things you hated doing before you became a Christian, you find yourself wanting to do after you become a Christian and loving doing. Jackie Pullinger. Some of you know Jackie Pullinger's story. Was a young girl who wanted to serve God and had a strong desire to go overseas, but didn't know where she should go. So she did the normal route. She went to applied to a Bible college and they rejected her. She said, "You're not the right type of person." Then she applied to a missionary college and they said, "You're not the right type of person. You're not educated enough. You're not clever enough. You're not the type of person we need. You haven't got the skills. You haven't got the... You know, you need to think about doing something else." But she couldn't get rid of this strong inner compulsion in her heart that she wanted to go somewhere and tell people about Jesus and make a difference overseas. So she did something that was a little bit wild, but actually proved to be God. She bought a round-the-world ticket on a ship and got on and prayed where she should get off. She got on, and actually one of our friends, Vic Gledill, was on that boat. Do you know that, Anne? When Vic first went to India, he was actually on the same ship as Jackie Pullinger. It's amazing, isn't it? He got off in Bombay, and she prayed where to get off, and actually got off in Hong Kong, and wandered into Hong Kong. Young girl, on her own, walked into the walled city, which was the gangland, the heroin and prostitution block, that was totally walled up. The police didn't go in. It was totally violent, totally out of control. And she went in with the love of Jesus. And actually, she totally transformed the whole place. Scores and scores of heroin addicts came to know Jesus. Amazing. Amazing that she could be so compelled by God to do something so unusual. And everyone say it's wrong, and yet be so right. God will give you a strong desire to do something. It says he will put his will in us. and cause us to act according to his good purpose. And sometimes God guides you in very supernatural ways. Prophecies, people can pray over you and have a sense of what you should do and guide you through that, through people's prayers and insights for you, or dreams or visions. Or sometimes, you know, you just, through other people's prayers, you get placed at the right time in the right place. If you're available to God, that's the key. If you're at God's disposal every day, then you'll have awesome adventures with God. And you look back and say, that could only be God. And years ago, when I was with Anne and a couple of others of us, we went over to, it was years ago, I think we were teenagers, we went over to Norton to do this this Catholic confirmation thing, class. And on the way back, we drove over the flyover, and on the way back, we came back over Newport Bridge. And it was a really foggy night. We were driving in our friend's car. And as we went over Newport Bridge, it was so thick over the river, the fog, you know, it hangs over water, doesn't it? That we just couldn't see anything, you know, hardly apart from the people's lights. But as we looked to the left, we saw this guy sat on a cage. There used to be a cage sticking out of the side. He was sat on the edge of the cage right out over the river. And we saw him, and someone said, did you see that guy sat in the cage? And, you know, we were going down the roundabout. And so I said, yeah. I said, what do you think he was doing? Someone said, I think he was fishing. And then when we got the roundabout, I thought, he's not fishing. Let's turn around and go back. We turned around and went back up the other, you know, and it's got two lanes, hasn't it? Two lanes each side. So when we came back up the other side, you couldn't see anything. It was three lanes across. So Julie, now friend, pulls up in his car, and I jumped out the back. And I said, you turn around, I'll go and see him. And I walked across the foggy road, you know, and started walking along this side of the bridge, the side he was on. When I get up to him, what we didn't see in the car was that leaning over the cage, that's why we didn't see him, and speaking to this guy, you know, the guy was going to jump. He was sat on there thinking about committing suicide. What we didn't see, there was another guy leaning over the fence talking to him. And he'd been talking to him for hours, trying to get him back, and he couldn't. And he's beginning to lose hope about it. But this guy was part of our prayer group, was part of our church. And he was leaning over, and he was talking to him, and he realized it's not working. So he started to pray. And this is exactly what he prayed. Lord, send Martin. Wherever he is, send Martin, send someone who's good with the words and good with his mouth to talk to this guy. And can you imagine how our friend felt when he looked and out of the fog came Martin? He didn't know I'd just got out of a Renault 18. But anyway, and it's just awesome, you know, to be. It's awesome for him, but it's awesome for me to know that you're in the will of God and the hand of God. And you know, God knows your name and he knows where you are that night and he can place you. So only later I thought, you know, we went over the flyover. Why did we come back? Why didn't we go back over the flyover? Because of God. You know, and anyway, he jumped. No, he didn't. He came back. And then also, as well as supernatural things like that, and Christianity is very supernatural. You can have dreams and visions from God that really are God. And aren't just the pizza you ate the night before. There's also common sense. You know, John Stott said, God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking. Common sense is important. This is what the Bible says. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, but have to be controlled by bridle and bit. Reflect on what I'm saying, Paul told Timothy, and the Lord will give you insight as you do. So here's the point. You're allowed to think. You're allowed to think about, you know, you're not to go wild and wacky and ridiculous. God isn't going to guide you to do stupid things. You need to use common sense as well and weigh things up and think about the decisions you make as a believer and then do that. And it's interesting. David says in the psalm there, do not be like a horse or a mule. Don't be like a horse, always running ahead. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God doesn't want to have to control you like that. Some people are like that, wild and wacky, always running off to the new thing. They never finish anything. They're never committed to anything. They're always into the next thing and the next thing. David said, don't be like that. Slow down, slow down. God's not wild and he's not in a rush. Slow down. Equally, don't be like the mule. I ain't going anywhere. The mule that God has to drag along. Come on, come on. Whack. Come on, come on. Whack. Don't be like that. God doesn't want a relationship with you where he's dragging you along or where he's holding you back all the time. I like going for a walk with our kids, but not that much. Because I've got a big age range of kids. When we go for a walk along a road, this is what happens. We walk out of our house and where have they gone? Some of them, boom, they're off down the road, running as fast as they can. And I'm always saying, come back, slow down, come back, slow down. And then I got some others who were like, dragging their heels and, hurry up, slow down, hurry up. Oh, forget it. Get in the car, we'll drive. And that's what David's saying. Don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. Do you know what's better? If you just walk together, it's much better. It's more chilled. You can hear each other. You're within the sound of each other's voice. That's what it's like with the Lord. If you just walk with God, just walk with God. Every day, pray a little bit. Read a little bit. Surrender your day to the Lord. You don't have to be super religious or super spiritual. Just be normal. Just invite God into every part of your life. And he'll just guide you. Naturally, normally, and when you come to a moment where you need to move up into something new, he'll give you a decision to make, a step of faith, and you'll decide to take that step of faith, and that's how you move on with common sense. Also, there's the counsel of the saints. In other words, there's advice from people, advice from Christians, frankly. You know, the advice of someone who's walked with Jesus for a lot of years is worth its weight in gold. There's some people who if I'm really stuck, I go and see and ask them what I should do and ask them for advice. And their advice to me is worth gold because I know that they've lived with God and have wisdom from the Bible and from God and they know me and I trust them. That's worth its weight in gold. It is. You can get advice from anyone. Oh, anyone will give you advice. I mean, just read the papers, read the magazines, you know, agony aunts columns. The way to make a marriage work is, well, hang on, is your marriage working? Yes, I'm on my fourth. Anyone can give advice, but it doesn't mean their life is working or their advice works. You need advice. This is what the Bible says. Plans fail for lack of advice, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 20, make plans by seeking advice. The wise listen to advice, Proverbs 12. So be humble, listen to people's advice, but get the right advice from the right people. And in spiritual issues, it's Christians who've walked with the Lord a little bit further, a little bit longer than you have. And there's always someone around like that. And lastly, circumstantial signs. This is what Proverbs says. In your heart, you plan your course, but the Lord determines your steps. It's a good job he does. Lord, I have a plan. I have a desire. I've had a dream. I've had a vision. I'm going this way. But at the end of the day, Lord, if I'm wrong, please stop me. And he does. Thank you, Lord. When God shuts doors, it's his kindness. When he opens doors, it's his kindness. But trust him when he does that. Sometimes you feel so convinced you're meant to go in a certain direction and God stops it. Trust him. Sometimes it's just the wrong time or the wrong way. You're doing the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong way and he'll show you the right ways. You just stop and trust him. Don't be in a hurry. And listen, when you make mistakes in life, and who hasn't? And even as Christians, you still do. Sometimes big. Here's the good news. The God who forgave us at the beginning will forgive us now. He's very merciful and forgiving. And he has an awesome way of creating a new plan, knitting a new plan just for you when you blow it. Some of us have blown it big time, but have found that God hasn't blown it for us. He just works in the trouble and the pain and the suffering and the failure and even the sin to enable us to keep walking with him and eventually reach our goal. That's the nice thing about sat-navs, isn't it? Wherever you are, however lost you are, if you can switch your sat-nav on and press home, it'll just take you there. You know, go to home. Wherever you are. And the good news is this tonight, wherever we are, wherever we've got to in life, no matter if we're totally lost, if we just press home, where you are now, you can get where God wants you to be. You might be miles off. You might not be very far off. You might be dead online. But the way to press home is to surrender to God and just say, Lord, I want to do your will in my life. Please help me. Amen. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've promised to guide us and promised to be our shepherd. And we need it. I personally need it. We all need someone to show us the way and to be the way for us. Lord, we don't want to make all the decisions in the dark. We want to hear from you. We want to know the right thing to do, the best thing to do, the right thing to do for our families, the right thing to do for our careers, the right thing to do for others, the right thing to do for the poor, the right thing to do for the church, and the right thing to do for you. Lord, help us, guide us, Lord, to make wise decisions. Forgive us where we've got it wrong. And Lord, we just let go of our pride and our independence tonight. And we say, Lord, we want to happily depend on you. We get out of the driving seat and say, Jesus, please move in. And you or sit next to us and you tell us where to turn and we'll turn. Thank you, Lord. We just trust you. Amen.